B-Pod Studios.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock, and I wanted to come on to just say this before we intro our next segment, because comedy at a loss. Comedy writer and former Saturday Night Live star Buck Henry has passed away at the age of 89. He was a regular fixture on the show's early years and co-created the 60s television sitcom Get Smart, nominated for an Academy Award in 1968 for his screenplay adaptation of The Graduate, then again nominated in 1979 for his co-direction of Heaven Can Wait. He was often seen alongside John Belushi in the samurai stuff on Saturday Night Live. Buck Henry suffered a heart attack in Los Angeles. This according to his wife. He also suffered a stroke in 2014. He had no children, but he was a guest on the Stan and Haney show in 1997.
On the phone with us right now, Buck Henry. Hi, Buck.
Hi there.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Buck, what was so all-consuming and important that you couldn't come on the show at the scheduled time?
Pure feeble-mindedness, forgetfulness, laziness, and confusion.
All right, well, that I can accept. That I can accept.
Settle the thing we were talking earlier. I mean, so many times on Saturday Night Live, especially in the earlier years, nobody, I think, with the exception of Steve Martin, hosted it more than you.
I think I hold the record for the most in the fewest amount of years. Because I did it all in the first five.
We were saying that it seemed like if they did 20 shows a year, you'd host 10 of them.
Yeah, it does. Well, when they repeat them, there are 100 repeated shows from the first 5 years, and I'm in 10 or 12 of them, so it looks like I'm in more than I am.
Yeah, but what kind of tie-in did you have with Lorne Michaels? What, are you good buddies with him, and he got you on the show a lot, or what?
He owed me a lot of money, and I had some photographs.
True or false, you actually were bloodied during a samurai skit with Belushi.
He put a hole in my head. It was very exciting, actually, but my only concern was that my mother might be watching and thought I'd been killed, although there was a three-hour lag to the West Coast, so I knew I could call her and say I'm okay.
Well, what happened?
I got too near to Belushi's sword. It was my fault. I just took one half a step more than I should have. And, you know, we never really rehearsed it in detail. So I took a real whack. Then I jumped out the window, which tore my leg up. Then I got a little suspicious because there was a two-minute commercial break, and I heard somebody saying, "It's okay, Belushi's doctor is in the house. And John is ready to do your lines in the next sketch if you want him to." I thought, uh-oh, I've been set up. But the great thing about that show was in the next sketch, which I did, some doctor, I guess it was Belushi's doctor, came down and patched me up. The next sketch, which was with Chevy was ready for it. No, actually, it wasn't when he was doing the news. He put a huge bandage on his head. And then Jane had her arm in a splint. And then the guys on the crew started getting out crutches and stuff. So by the end of the show, it looked like the Tan Death March. Everyone was wounded, limping. It was hilarious.
Well, sometimes you got to play hurt, Buck.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion on this new Saturday Night Live?
I haven't seen it.
I don't think many people have.
Oh, I think a lot of people have. I think it's an American habit.
I've broken myself of that habit. It used to be a habit with me. You had to watch it. You had to tape it. You had to see what was going on. And I just think it has gone so far downhill.
Well, I sort of quit watching it when I wasn't on it. Sheer ego.
Well, like Chris Rock.
I don't like to watch anything more than a few years.
Well, like Chris Rock says, I never miss an episode of The Chris Rock Show.
Exactly.
So you really don't have an opinion one way or the other. Have they asked you to host?
I have been asked to host a couple of times, and I think they've given up doing that. The last show I did, I said goodbye because it was a kind of a walkout show. Lorne was quitting. We were good friends, and there was a certain amount of, I don't know, whether it was bad blood or just ill humor between the network and him, and I sided with him out of general friendship, and the front cast was quitting. So we all took a walk and turned the lights off and left the studio. It was a sort of dramatic and a little bit of sanctimonious ending. But I always think if you say goodbye, you kind of should mean it, because I loved doing the show. But you know, life goes on in other areas.
Well, you said it's an institution. Do you think that that they'll stick with it until it bounces back?
I think it can go on forever.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's like the news.
But then you got to wait for those special talents to come along that will go and light it up again. I mean, it seems like every few years there'll be that one special, they don't call them that anymore, but not ready for primetime player that will, you know.
They call them get on for a season and then make some crap movies.
Sure. Well, there's still 5 movies a year being made from guys who graduate from the show that I've never seen before.
That's when I start to feel old, is whenever there's a film coming out and stars of Saturday Night Live, I don't know who the hell they are.
Well, I don't either, because I don't watch it. So, but I hear people talking about them as though they are personal favorites. So I assume there are entertainers that are making their mark afresh. I mean, you know, and every now and then we tend to write people off as fast as we can, like Eddie Murphy got written off. But anybody who has lived through The Nutty Professor and not laughed until they fell on the floor at the dinner party scene doesn't know what comedy's about.
That is one of the funniest scenes.
But that's the funny thing about Eddie Murphy, and you watch, you know, Beverly Hills Cop, it was huge, 48 Hours, it was huge, but it wasn't really what he does best. Mm-hmm. It's like you're talking about The Nutty Professor stuff when he gets into the characters.
He's unbelievable in it.
So if he can get a little more of that, it'll be all right.
Yeah, and I assume there are others, maybe not quite as talented as Eddie, but there are others who will make a mark somewhere along the line if they get material that is conducive to them doing their best.
What's it like to be at the Academy Awards and not hear your name?
I only did it once, and I was only there 5 minutes before I decided I would never do it again.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing about it, for me, there's nothing about it that's not unpleasant. Going there at 4 or 5 on a hot afternoon, dressed in a tuxedo, is my idea of hell. Walking through thousands of screaming strangers with a lot of cameras—that's not. It's inconceivably uncomfortable. Sitting there is unpleasant, and to be there, you know, at home you get to stand up during the commercials or during their grotesque musical numbers, and walk out of the room, call a friend, or have sex. But when you can't do any of those things when you're there.
And plus, at home, you don't run the risk of the camera panning over and catching you picking your nose.
Or without your pants.
Yeah. Exactly. And then what? The parties afterwards you got to go to, right?
There are endless parties afterwards. The hip people, of course, don't go to the governor's ball. They go to various A-list parties. It's much more fun to watch at home.
Who's funny out there now? Who do you like?
I don't know how to answer that.
Is there anybody? Well, you made reference to Eddie Murphy and The Nutty Professor and sitting through that scene.
No, I'm thinking about what, you know, do you watch TV?
Oh, yeah, but I don't watch much entertainment TV. I watch news, sports, and PBS.
PBS.
Like all of us pretend to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the Discovery Channel.
I'll tell you what I think is really good, but then I'm in the business. It's Gary Shandling's show.
Oh, without a doubt.
Which is far and away miles ahead of everybody else in the comedy business and television.
Are you one of these guys that think Seinfeld's worn out?
I don't know it. I know this is usually a phony answer, but I don't watch half-hour comedies at all. I can't stand the laugh track. I don't like the commercial interruptions. And to me, it's a form that if I understood and liked the form, I'd write for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's incredibly lucrative. But I don't get it. I don't get little plays. Little playlists.
Well, by the time the commercials are in there, what are they like, 14 minutes?
I know they're talented people who do it. Yeah. I just don't know it.
Have you ever thought and sat at the typewriter and said, it's been a long time now, and said, maybe make a sequel to The Graduate?
I am dead set against it.
Because, you know, could call something like, you know, The Retirement and have, you know, and have where he is today.
Yeah,
it's a joke I've already made in a movie. I already did this. I pitched the sequel to The Graduate in The Player. And I meant it as a parody of writers' bum ideas.
You think that would be a bum idea?
I just think it's a bum idea on its face.
Because I was thinking about this, because they just ran it on television over the weekend, and watching the scene as they're going off on the bus to start their lives, and the families are there at the wedding yelling and screaming. Dustin Hoffman, I mean, his career took off from that. It's been a long time since that movie came out. And I'm willing to bet that if there was a decent screenplay written for that thing, Hoffman would be interested in it.
I know he'd be interested. We've talked about it. I'm against it on principle. I know that the three main actors are alive and well and working.
You could make a ton of money from that. You could make a bundle.
Yeah, I know. But what's the point? The upside is only money. And the downside is you trifled with something that you probably did as good as you could do, and there's no way to... I just don't think there's any way to match something that you really liked. But I feel that way about everything I've done, good or bad. I don't want to do it again.
Agree or disagree? Frank Sinatra's version of Mrs. Robinson is far superior to Simon and Garfunkel.
I've never heard it.
Oh,
what I do like
you
is...
You've got to hear it.
I do like the raspberries, the strawberries, the... Lingonberries, what are they called?
Dingleberries.
There's that rock group with that guy who's a really good singer who did a version of it that's very, very nice.
I don't know. Frank Sinatra's version, though, was much more respectful because instead of saying Jesus loves you more than you will know, he says Jilly loves you more than you'll know.
Yeah, well, when you've got Jilly loving you, keep your back to the wall.
Buck, thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, guys, bye. Hi there, this is Buck Henry. I'm talking to Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say, 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. All afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor. Paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon.
two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage. What? Stan and Haney. 96 yeah. K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. I am so glad I was able to find and play our interview with the late Buck Henry, who just passed away. He lived a full life, brilliant man.
And one of the originals.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was a comedy writer, director, screenwriter. Went all the way back to the early days of television comedy. Steve Allen.
Talk about seeing it all.
And one of the original writers and guest stars on Saturday Night Live. He talked a little bit about that. I got to put that up on our archives. That was about 10 minutes of Buck Henry. The Graduate, Heaven Can Wait.
And you know, on the air, nobody knew what it was.
Nope.
And at that time, which was, what was it, 75?
1975.
There was real concern among the powers that be, because the one tradition with Saturday Night Live that's survived to this day is the cold open. Well, now we look forward to it. We know that they'll put the best stuff at the top of the show. Back then, it was the local news ended, and this comes on, and America sees an NBC special report. They truly felt that a good portion of the nation would not understand that it was a joke.
Mm-hmm. It was untried, untested, and you and I have both talked about it in the past. It was NBC's Saturday Night, because across the dial on ABC, they mm-hmm. thought they had a sure hit with Howard Cosell's Saturday Night Live.
But think about the state of the culture to be concerned that people can't tell that the cold open for Saturday Night Live is a joke.
Yeah. Because they did a good job of making it look real until you realized it was a farce.
And I think what it did best back then, especially, was its main job really is to point out that everything is a farce.
Yes, and it was very new back then. So, but I come into work today because I had a whole different opening planned.
Well, and you said it was difficult to find, it was difficult to edit. Like you were right on the verge of saying that Buck Henry is more trouble than
yep.
he's worth.
Well, ask Rob. What did I do? Get you that Buck Henry? Probably what 5 minutes before it aired?
Yeah, literally, it was like 1:58 when it came through.
Yep. And so I get into work today.
But you know what? In a way, that feels good because I know nobody else will understand the feeling. But in radio, that's as close as you get to hitting that buzzer beater.
Yeah. Well. Because I get in, I had something to go on that we were going to put in from our archives, and
I haven't heard Buck Henry since he was on.
That's the first time, and there's a reason for it. So I get into work, put together something from our archives, sent it over to Rob, and I'm saying, I know we talked to Buck Henry. I didn't know what year we talked to him. Realize now it was 23 years ago, and it was...
Well, it's gone off to college now,
yes.
Getting ready to graduate.
And so I said, do I have anything labeled in our archives with Buck Henry? And I went into the computer because I moved all of the old tapes
was
and
it
stuff.
Was it on DAT, CD, video?
I didn't know. So I went and I looked because I transferred to digital all the DAT and VHS tapes
that we could find.
And then, of course, The CD stuff that was burned is lost because it deteriorated and is gone, most of it. And I tried to save some of that stuff before it went away. I had to, there was nothing labeled Buck Henry. And I'm like, well, there's got to be. I know Haney and I talked to him. He's a legend. And so I looked at our list of liners that people have done. For, hi, I'm so-and-so, and you're listening to Stan Haney. Well, I'm looking down that, and I said, well, I mean, damn, there's Buck Henry's.
Well, we got the liner.
Yeah, I said, the interview's got to be somewhere. So meanwhile, I'm looking at the clock, tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. I said, where the hell is it? Do you know that I went to our big paper desk calendars, and I sat.
I thought those had been, were in the Smithsonian.
They should be. I went to our big paper desk
calendars. We still have them?
Yeah, and I saved every one. And I said, let me, I said, I know it was in the 90s, and I know it was early on when we were on in the afternoon. This is Stan Luck.
Well, that would tell you video.
Yes, but I transferred all those already, and there's nothing that said Buck Henry. So I said, wait a second, I know it was when we first started. Let me take a look at the first 3 years that we were on in the afternoon. That would be 1997, 98, and 99. And so I went to go find the old paper desk calendars that are behind a file cabinet, all been rain-soaked through numerous hurricanes, fading if we wrote it in pencil. Thank God the ink one still stayed. And so I'm going through. I said, well, here's 1999. I go through.
Well, look at this. Is that Merv Griffin's home phone number?
I go through 12 months of 1999. Nothing. So let me grab 1998. I go through 12 months, 5 days a week of 1998. And I'm like, nothing. When did we have him on? I grab the 1997 calendar. Finally, and I start going through them. January, March, April, May, June, July, August. I can't find it. August, September, October. I can't find it. November 20-something, 1997. The last calendar on the second-to-last page. I finally found it. So I got the date. And I said, wait a second. I got to have that date. Why isn't it popping up on the computer? So I go to our archives that are all now digitized, and I'm going down. I got everybody listed that we've had on the show and the show date and time and all. And I come up to the show that had Buck Henry on it, and it was labeled nothing. It was just a blank date, and I clicked it, and I start listening to the show. Meanwhile, I got to get it to him to get on the air.
How was the show that day?
Good. It was good.
Okay.
He didn't come on, because we were on till 7 at the time. He didn't come on till 6:30 on that day. So I had to go through the entire show, and I finally found it. I said, we got about 12 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes for the opener from the archives. How long is this interview with Buck Henry? Oh, it's 28 minutes long. What? And it was like 1:58.
Well,
it's
28 minutes long, and in 1997, we were allowed to speak freely.
I'll tell you, I got to put it up on the archives, because there's 18 more minutes of literally his brilliance of critiquing at the time of movies that were out there, award shows that were going on out there. His work ethic, people that he has worked with, people that he won't work with, and he just went on and just was brilliant. So, yeah, there's like an extra, 18 minutes of his stuff.
I never thought I'd see the day, though.
But I found it.
And this happened a while ago. It happened with Janet Jackson's nipple, really. But going back through things that had already aired and were fine at the time.
Yep.
But now we have to edit ourselves from the past.
Correct. Yo, you have no idea how many edits I have to put into stuff.
And The only way around that is when we put an interview up on our interview site, however that works. I guess that's unedited.
Yes,
that's the way it aired.
Yeah.
But for it to be on the airwaves now,
it's got to be edited. I told you, I did a Sarita one that we did early on that I had to put 18 edits into it because some of the stuff not allowed to air today. But nobody said anything, 20 years ago when it aired.
Well, and, you know, you think about the time that's gone by. One of Dave's go-to insults, where now he says, oh, shut up, or something like that,
yep,
was, I can't even say the word, but...
English term of cigarette.
Yes, and now that is radioactive.
Yep. Well, you got written up for that. We'll be back. Stan and Haney. Oh, Kreskin on today for the 23rd straight year.
Oh, yeah.
96
You don't want to miss that.
New.
Bang, bang. Sizzle and hizzle and hackazzle on 96K Rizzle. That's right, we're quite hip but on the sharp cutting edge of 1999.
Yuck.
Well, it's more serrated than sharp, but it gets the job done. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up in about 1 hour, we will be joined by the amazing Kreskin. He's a mentalist.
And he's earned the name.
He's been.
You might think, hey, that's a little pretentious.
He's amazing. He's been doing this stuff on television since the 60s. He used to go on Johnny Carson all the time and, you know, the old Merv Griffin show and all of the shows he used to go on all the time. And for the last 23, we had him on all well before then, but we made it a tradition. This will be the 23rd consecutive year that Kreskin's coming on the show.
Well, when we started out, we were young and insecure, and we thought to ourselves, you know, we brainstormed this. What do we need to have real credibility as a talk show? And we grew up at a certain time, and we came up with a plan, and we made it happen. To establish our credibility as a talk show,
yeah,
we knew we needed two people, really, to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, obviously, is Kreskin. I think he was on with Jack Parr.
Yeah, he goes way back.
The other was Dr. Joyce Brothers, who became a dear friend.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then we expanded out to other guests,
yeah,
like Julia Child.
Yeah.
So, we've done it, my friend.
Kreskin is now.
We've done it, my friend. We've had the A-listers.
He's in his mid-80s now. And he... if you don't know who he is, look him up. He's got a resume that goes back 50 years. But when he's on the air with us, keep in mind he has, it's almost like attention deficit disorder.
It's rapid fire, and he can turn on a dime
and talk about something else.
And you never know when that something else is going to be the main thing.
Yep. As we found out in 2001.
That is. To this day,
mm-hmm,
that freaks me out.
He'll have trivial things. He'll have fad things that he'll talk about. And then he'll have, you know, he'll pop in. But he'll go from trivial to something very serious in the blink of an eye. And then move on from that. And he was on this show in one of his annual January appearances in January of 2001. And he's basically said this country is going to be facing something new, and it's called terrorism.
He said we've got a new enemy, and it's called terrorism.
And he's going to call me crazy, guys. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to be or how it's going to be.
But it's going to be bad.
But it's going to be. I see planes.
Yep.
Flying into skyscrapers. But I don't. Just hear
but
me.
We'll
out.
Be okay.
And so this is in January of 2001. And we know about September 11th, and that I remember when September 11th occurred, and we were trying to put together shows afterwards and how difficult it was because of what the country was going through. And both Haney and I said at the very same time.
Oh, my God.
Didn't Kreskin talk about that? And we had to go back and get the tapes and listen, and he did. He'll be on a little bit.
To this day, I get chills every time I listen to it.
Safe word, chance for a thou at 4 o'clock. Our question of the week later on today. Grab bag right now, brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. Haney and I often joke around that the amount of time we've been in this business, that if we take a look at ourselves at the year that we started in this business, and instead of going forward that we've been in the business 30 years, go back and you realize that it was like from World War II. Here's something that you can all relate to with today's Throwback Thursday. Because this affects everybody. Take a listen and be a little, a little worried.
Today's show is brought to you by Throwback Thursday. Well, here we are in 2020. That means we're the same distance from 1990 as we are from 2050. I don't know if that's a throwback or a fast forward, but holy snarkies, I'm feeling just a little bit older than I did before I read this.
So go back to 1990 to now. And it's 2020. If you go from now to the same distance out, 2050.
In 1990, I was miserable slaving away in Slocala.
Yeah, both of us had just been let go from the station in Melbourne.
Well, 89... Wasn't that when we both got burned?
Yes, 1989.
Except, I think my firing there was much better than yours.
Ours was told at a picnic table outside the radio station.
Mine, it was almost as if it was a tragedy.
Oh, it was!
There were musical tributes and tears and the man that fired me begging my forgiveness.
Yeah, as he pulled a bottle of booze out of his desk drawer.
Yep.
I remember. Oh, this is, you know, when the camera's on, you try to make like everything's okay, but it really wasn't. A British YouTube comedy group did a video about the things that can go wrong when a couple take a bath together. Body parts are almost burned by hot faucets and candles.
Well, that's an inherent difference. Between women and men. Women will get into water that you could boil shrimp in, and men can't.
This was started out to be a little parody, you know, when romantic baths go wrong, but it really did go wrong. In this clip, the woman's foot smacks the guy's face. He swallows a bunch of soapy water and literally almost drowns in their YouTube video.
And this was supposed to be an exhibition.
Yes. When it's over, they try to put on their best faces and say that went nice, but he nearly drowned.
Do you have a bath?
Sounds nice.
Your left. Stay still.
Oh, wait. Ah!
No, but is that my leg or yours?
Yeah, okay. Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, really relaxing.
They really did have a scare.
Well, see, that's the you and I both know this. When you're young, and especially, you know, the girl's driving it, and she's got the candles, and she's built it all up in her mind, and see, if you haven't done it before, you can talk yourself into it.
girls like the imagery of it all and the flowers and the candles. Guys are more practical.
But you really destroyed my life when you introduced me to the phrase of think things through their logical conclusion.
Yes!
And I haven't been able to have fun since.
Well, but then you say to yourself, do you really have fun? It starts out great. Oh, this is going to be great. But where does it lead? Where does it lead?
You're right. I've never had fun in my life.
Me
it was
neither.
Just the illusion that there might be some to be had.
The potential of fun. And then your mind starts going, this can be great. Oh, we'll go out. We'll get
but
all.
But it never is.
No. The night will end with taking a bath, a near drowning, or not as romantic as you thought. Or a night out with friends and stuff at the bar or something like that. Somebody has too much to drink. Somebody tries to pick up on your gal. Somebody goes and gets into a fight. And then you get screaming on the way home. And it doesn't turn out the way that your mind said it should have turned out.
I don't know. Maybe other people, I hope they're different. But what I've learned about relationships.
What?
There is legitimate happiness to be had.
Yes.
But it can only be had by one of you at any given time. You're never happy together.
Life's and romance is a compromise.
No, love.
But you're taking your baggage with you because the luxury motor coach is going to go to somewhere else. And they put the thing down and then you're up top. Beautiful view, comfortable seats, and you go around and, well. But I often wondered this. A 19-year-old American guy recently got stuck in the luggage compartment of a moving bus during a trip through Israel. He climbed in to get his bag while the bus was stopped. And the driver, thinking everybody was all set, ready to go, accidentally locked him in. So he just closes it down while the guy was underneath trying to get his luggage. He called for help, and the police stopped the bus about 20 minutes later to let him out of the luggage compartment of the motor coach.
I am surprised, and I'm very glad he wasn't a Palestinian terrorist.
Yeah. Red, blue, rainbow, white.
Oh, no, that's not it. Hold on. I got to get to this one. Stop. See if I can do this.
Today's show is brought to you by Throwback Thursday.
No.
All right, you've lost all.
I have, and then it ruins it. Oh, I got it. What's this one?
I'm on the 947 bus. I just left El Al Junction, and I went to get my suitcase from under the thing, and the door closed, and he's driving away, and I'm underneath the bus. I went to get my suitcase under the bus, and I'm stuck under the bus.
Wait, you were stuck under the bus?
Ken! Okay, so that, I'm very scared.
Woo. Don't worry, I'm sending police right now.
No, see, the article, that's a woman. The article said it was a guy, but that's a woman. Picture in your mind if Cardi B did the sound effects for Star Wars.
No.
Something's on my look. You know what I'm saying?
We don't have to worry about her anymore.
We don't?
Yeah, she's she can't take Trump anymore, so she's going to become a citizen of Nigeria.
Oh, good.
Best of luck to her.
Yeah, I'm all in favor of that. I'm jumping around. I hope I hit the right button.
All right. Well, I think you were doing fine.
Yeah.
And then the whole bus thing with it being a woman instead of a guy threw you. And now you are questioning your own abilities.
Yeah, I am. Hold on.
If this was a football game, I'd take you out of play and ask if you're okay.
I think I got it.
If you were a pitcher, I'd be on my way to the mound.
Saying, what are you, a belly itcher? Hold on. That's, that shouldn't be. Let me see what this is.
That's Cardi B.
right, here it is. There's a new canine vest that you can put on your dog that can read your dog's emotions. And they say it's real. This is at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Supposedly, it reads their emotions and tells you how they're feeling based on the color of the vest. There you go.
Red, blue, rainbow, white, they all indicate whether the dog is relaxed, excited, stressed, happy. So just at a glance, you'll be able to see exactly how your dog's feeling. And as I said, if you're a dog owner, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If your pet's not quite acting themselves, your dog's not quite themselves, this will now help you detect exactly how they're feeling.
Well, what if it turns out they don't like you?
Yeah, well, then I got no problem. Get rid of the dog.
Well, you don't.
I got zero problem with that. Got one more for you, and it's good.
Speaking of which, how's your cat?
Oh, it's getting ready. I'm getting ready to get rid of that thing. I've about had it with that thing.
Any further injuries or damage?
No. Oh, damage, yes. Injuries, no. We're learning to avoid it.
And I know we're in the middle of the grab bag.
Yeah.
You prohibited me from pursuing it for the entire day yesterday. But are we ever going to get into this drone business?
Yeah, we can get into that drone business. And I'm also, this will be next break. Well, I can get into the drone business. But it's really simple. I pretty much told you everything quick yesterday. But you had about, I let you ask a question, not 15. And another observation from the happiest place on earth, Orlando, with the theme parks. Told you about when I was at Gulfstream. Pizza place that was run by Muslims.
That's not right.
No pork products. Made another observation when I was in Orlando and how one place does it right and one place does it wrong. And I'll talk about that. And if you think about this, I'm going to be right on that. But I'll let you know that in a second. Guitar World. I agree. Well, there's so many great ones, but this is pretty damn good. Guitar World released a list of the greatest bass guitar parts ever committed to record. And the winner, the top pick, was Good Times by Chic. The late, great bassist Bernard Edwards. Here's a clip. They named it number one. They've boosted up his bass part to the song, and tell me that it isn't great. You got to admit, that's pretty damn good. They named it number one.
That's pretty damn good, but I can't get behind it.
Why?
Because there are so many things that Larry Graham did that are just
I agree. They got to have one, and they put that one on there. I think of that Pablo Cruz and What You Gonna Do and that bass line that's going. There's so many great ones. All right, we got to take a break. We're late, as usual. We'll come back, take your phone calls. If Haney wants to ask me about the drone, fine. I'll also tell you about an interesting observation and how one place...
I'm still processing the Muslim pizza place.
Oh, yeah,
it still bothers me.
It bothers me. No pork products. At the Italian pizzeria. Can't get a pepperoni pizza there. I tried.
But aren't cows sacred in India? But if you go to an Indian restaurant, they'll have beef in the recipes for you.
I don't know.
Because it's about serving the customer.
Do they?
So why can't they, at the pizza place, just wear gloves and put it on your pizza? They're not eating it.
Maybe the steam coming up from it or something like that. I don't know.
I think it's rude. Oh, of course, if you want to talk rude, Italy has just about had it because Domino's opened 28 stores.
How dare them!
In Italy. And they've been reasonably popular. And they were so popular, Domino's says, we'd like to open 880 more Italian Domino's locations, and Italy is in an uproar.
That's a shame.
How dare you?
They used to tell you, you want a pizza? Go to America. They make the pizza. Now they come to Italy, because now Italians know they could make money doing the old-style pizza, and now they're mad.
Well, it's peasant food.
Yep, that's what it is. Stan and Haney, 96 KRON.
The battered bastards of Beasley Media Group. Stan and Haney on 96 KROQ.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show, 277-9600. If you'd like to call in, it's a 239 area code. Got something from the local beat coming up in about 25 minutes or so. The 23rd consecutive year that the amazing Kreskin will join us. And at 4 o'clock, it'll be the 4 o'clock safe word, chance to get a thou. And then later on today, our question of the week. But I do have something from today's local beat. This is a story that is disturbing, and it is happening in our own backyard in the Quad County area. This is one of the areas of Florida that you don't have to look too hard for the bizarre, the sick, and the twisted. This area and the Port St. Lucie area, Fort Pierce, all that area down there, your Stewart, that's another dysfunctional hotbed. But we got here and there, two hot spots of Florida. Local beat. Dateline Lee County, Florida. Headline. Man arrested for killing his family's dog inside Fort Myers home. And it wasn't even his dog, it was his paws. And he wasn't even supposed to be there.
Why would somebody do that?
Dateline Lee County. Well, he's messed up, and you'll see in this story. He's messed up. Son or no son, I wouldn't have him in my home. Dateline Lee County.
I don't think you should have anybody in your home that you have to keep, you know, keep the kids and dogs away from him.
Yeah, and this is one of them. A man was arrested for killing his family's dog in their Fort Myers home. 36-year-old Jason Lopez killed the family's 7-year-old pit bull mix. The dog's name, by the way, was Sky. Police responded to the home after an aggravated animal cruelty complaint was reported. That was reported by Lopez's father, the true owner of the dog. Lopez's father told deputies he came home from work, but his dog didn't greet him. Later, he found the dog dead and realized his son had killed the animal. This comes to us, by the way, from NBC2.
Well, that's a fine, how do you do? Long day at work. You come home. Where are you, boy?
Yeah.
Where's Sky?
When Lee County deputies tried talking with
the younger Lopez, the son. They described him as being in a catatonic state. Lopez was taken to Gulf Coast Hospital for medical attention because he was in that catatonic state. Deputy said the dog was found in the doorway to the guest bathroom with a puncture wound in its throat. The father told deputies, now see, I wouldn't have him in my home. The father told deputies Lopez was staying at the home. Why? Well, he came down to Florida, our area of Florida, because he was in trouble up in New Jersey.
And nobody else would take him.
And nobody else would take him. He also added that his son has a drug addiction problems and had to get the hell out of New Jersey. Reasons not described.
Bring the problems here, please.
Other than he was in trouble. So he brings him down and kills. There's his mugshot. This is what we don't need in Southwest Florida. But they all gravitate to here. Here in Port St. Lucie, Stuart, Fort Pierce, West Palm Beach. They love it over there, too. It's the two coasts of hell. You know, you don't hear this problem if you go up to Destin. You don't hear about this kind of stuff.
You were really sold on Destin.
It's beautiful and very reasonable. Well, there you go for the local beat. We got Kreskin coming up in just a few minutes. His 2019 predictions.
I would like, if it would be at all possible,
yeah,
for you to share with us your observation from Orlando.
Please, thank you. If you remember in 2019, we did the story. Walt Disney World no longer allowing smoking in any of its parks. They, up until midway through last year, there were still smoking areas.
It'd be like an alley somewhere you could go down.
There used to be the spot right behind Cinderella's castle. There was like a little pathway, little shortcut way that they would put like a smoker's outpost. Now, I understand a lot of you, filthy habit, filthy. But here's my point. So they no longer have smoking areas at Disney and any of their party, Epcot, the Disney World, in the Magic Kingdom and stuff. What do they call downtown Disney now? It's got a name. It's not Downtown Disney anymore, but that place with all the shops and everything that they have there, and
bars,
the restaurants and the bars and all that, same thing. They took out all the smoking areas. What's the name of the place?
Disney Springs.
Disney Springs.
I didn't know they'd changed the name.
Oh yeah, a couple of years ago. So what was Downtown Disney, which is now Disney Springs, they. You know, and I understand you don't want people smoking around you if you're in a restaurant or stuff like that. And we accepted the fact that you could go to smoking areas far away from the beaten path if you got to have a smoke that badly. And if you're if you are a smoker and not a chain smoker and you go to Disney, you know, you're there for 6 hours. You know, allow me 5 minutes just to grab a quick smoke and then...
And what if you're staying on the property?
That's a whole... This is going to lead to my point. So you can't go anywhere. My wife and I were at Disney Springs when we were up in Orlando, and we literally, if we wanted to smoke, we had to go out to the bus parking lot and have a smoke before we could go back into the park because there's no more designated smoking areas. So we were staying at and I won't mention the name, but we were staying at a nice resort in Orlando. They got an atrium.
I really know nice. You're very fond of it.
Yep. And
They don't allow smoking in there. It's the state law. I understand that. But this resort over by the pool area, by every single door, they had ashtrays and smoker outposts, realizing that people, you know, want to go out and have a quick smoke if you have the habit. It's not, you're not looking for an ashtray, nor is there going to be anybody shooing you off. You're not supposed to be smoking. Every exit had one.
Yeah, I mean, you have the courtesy to go outside looking for a place where you're not going to bother anybody.
And
they take them away.
It dawned on me, and my wife brought it up as well. She said to me, she goes, you know, for a non-smoking place, this resort at least tries to accommodate the smokers that might be staying on their property. And I said, you know what? I realize that that's true. Unlike going into a Disney theme park or their little Disney Springs where if you get caught lighting anything, out you go. And she said to me, she said, you would think, take a look at who's at the parks right now. Because it was Christmas time. Everybody's home with their families, except people from down in South America, Europe, that were visiting, because this is their vacation time. Christmas time around the world, they come to the United States for their vacation. Down South America, it's summertime. They're coming up here. She said, all of these other countries, there is a large population of smokers. You go to Europe and everybody is smoking. You go to Japan, everybody is smoking.
Yep.
They smoke everywhere.
Yep.
And they're coming here and they're at least accommodating their clientele. They know the Germans like to smoke. They know the Japanese and their culture, they still smoke much more than Americans do. And they make it at least accommodating for them. And then I said, well, if all of the Disney places are non-smoking, what is it like at their European Disneys, Disneyland Paris and the ones that they got in Asia and stuff? Do they allow smoking in those parks? I said, if you're going to go and go to the Disneyland Paris, 80% of the people over there smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Do they allow it in that park? And then they come over here to go on their vacations where most of them smoke and they can't smoke in the park. Good. I said, I'd like to know if their properties around the world have the same policies.
The same draconian policy.
Of no smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Because this resort we stayed at knew their customers, knew that it was their vacation time. Our state laws don't prohibit smoking in enclosed areas, but they knew every single exit, and there's hundreds of them at this resort, places to smoke. And I was walking, I said, this is an interesting observation. You can't do it, and right now, you go to Disney World right now, and it's people from every land.
So did you look it up?
I didn't. I have no idea to find out.
Now Rob's got to find out then. Can you smoke at Euro Trash Disney?
Yep, Euro Disney. I know there's, isn't there one in Japan too?
Oh, yeah.
Japan Disney, where the smoking population is far higher. I don't know. Take a look. If they have banned smoking there. And granted, I know not everybody smokes, but you're there to accommodate your customers. Well,
Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
Disneyland Paris, you can only smoke in designated outdoor areas.
All right, but that's the way it used to be here. I don't know. I just thought, you know what? The resort I stayed at, thank you. When we come back.
You know, I truly don't see the harm.
I can understand it.
I can't. Because the key word there is guest. Your customers are paying you a ton of money. and you just want to smoke an occasional cigarette, and they've already got it set up where they've got hedges around you so nobody even has to look at you, and you're not bothering. They want to welcome all of their guests,
yeah.
So you want to have gay days and explain that to the kid.
You know? But yeah, you can't light a lucky.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Kreskin's next. Stan and Haney.
Only certain types of fags are out of line.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. The amazing Kreskin going to be joining us in just a second. In about 22 minutes. We'll give you the 4 o'clock safe word for you to hit the G spot. When you hear the word, you're going to put that safe word at 96krock.com or on the K-Rock app, or you can text the safe word to 95911. Got about 15 minutes to do it. And get that word in, and if you are the lucky company-wide winner, they will call you. It's like, oh, well, what do I do? How do I know if I've won? They'll call you.
You're a big winner.
And just by entering on our website or mobile app, you're in the running for the grand prize of $10,000. Absolute Law text line about Disney. And you know what? And I was talking, our chief engineer was walking around outside.
Because he's practically a European now.
And I'm trying to explain to him about he admitted over in Europe where he likes to go, and in your Hong Kong and your Japan, and they smoke more than Americans do. And I was saying that they come to our country to go to the theme parks where Disney has taken out all the smoking areas at their theme parks, and I was wondering, well, do they allow them over in another country? And I got a text. Ahoy, guys. Here's Disney's rule now here. You can smoke at Disney parks, just not in the park.
What?
Yeah. They put designated areas by the entrances to the park. They did this because even though they had designated smoking areas in the park, people were still doing it where they shouldn't have been. And so Disney, that's it. We're not going to do it. Now, I know about new laws and new rules
Second. So the reason they did this is because certain people weren't using the smoking areas.
Right. They were, trying to cop a smoke right by the castle.
All
right. Right so, by Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
So now there's no place to quote-unquote legally smoke. So if somebody smokes in the park now, what happens?
I don't know. Can they ask him to leave? Here's the thing.
Because my point is, if there's no smoking at all now and someone lights it up, well, they'll be asked to leave. Well, why wouldn't people be asked to leave if they weren't in the smoking area? I don't see what one has to do with the other.
I was told by somebody that used to work there, people that wouldn't smoke, that smoked outside of the designated, all you got to do is politely ask them, sir, ma'am, you're in a non-smoking area. I will show you the direction to go to the proper place. But I'm not talking about us. We're already used to it. I'm talking about the people that come here as tourists from other lands. And that's it. Kreskin's on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that, folks. For the 23rd consecutive year, keep in mind, Kreskin's been coming on with us for about 28 years. But for 23 years in a row, the amazing Kreskin has been coming on in January to tell us what to expect for 2020.
We know him well enough where we can just call him Kreskin, but you should refer to him as
the amazing Kreskin. Here he is once again, year number 23, the amazing Kreskin. Hello, Kreskin, how are you, buddy?
I heard your voice.
Where'd he go?
We had him for a second.
Kreskin, where are you?
Believe it or not, I parked over on a highway in New Jersey, sitting in a car, and I said, I'm not going to talk to Stan and Hanny while I'm driving, so thank God you guys are safe, because I haven't been drinking or driving.
Oh, Kreskin, I know
how many years is it?
23 years, Kreskin.
Consecutive. It goes beyond that.
You know, I got to tell you something, and there's a good chance that I'm going to be touring in Florida in the near future, so I got to come on the air live with you guys.
Kreskin,
you
know? I wish you would have. I know about...
You got an open invitation.
2 or 3 years ago, you were in Naples, which was just down the street from us, and you couldn't swing by. You have an open invitation to come into the studio anytime you want.
Now you're in Fort... Are you in Fort Myers?
Yeah.
Well, we're halfway between Fort Myers and Naples.
What town are you in?
Estero.
So that's where the... Oh, Estero. That's right. That's what we have here. That's where your studio is, right?
Yeah, that's where the studio sits. It's, a rock's throw to Fort Myers, a rock's throw to Naples. Yeah,
you know, people ask me, the more and more that they hear with my being on with you, they say, Kreskin, when you go on the air with them, are you sure you would dare to read their thoughts live on the air? I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry, we can handle that easily.
Yeah,
well, you know, all you got to say is nothing to see here, folks. Move along.
Yeah, move along.
Hey, I got to tell you, because, you know, I have a real bond with you folks, and I got a picture of you guys. I'm sitting in the car here, and we parked off to the side. But, you know, I got to tell you, this has been an interesting year this past month, because a lot of my shows, now I travel, as you know, constantly, but many of my shows have been here in the East Coast, believe it or not, in private homes. Executives, there's one home. I had 3 shows in the month of December in that home, and I have one more coming up in January. And each of the show, it's for a different audience each time, but they book me, the executive, for 30 or 40 of people that they work with and what have you. And I tell you, it's a neat experience, because my subjects are literally 4 feet from me. It's like the most intimate thing you can, you know? So I found
that. Do you do that? I mean, I know we've seen a lot of people that bands will do this.
Mm-hmm.
Other people that are in the public eye, that if a corporation wants to go and
hire you,
that you will go and do that for small groups of people. And it's pretty lucrative.
I got to tell you something. Yes, I love to do it. And even in spite of the fact my audience has given the Minnesota State Fair like 10,000, what have you, and then the theaters and what have you. But I love doing something like this. And one of the shows, they just moved it to February because of my schedule. I couldn't fit in. One of the private shows at someone's homes, listen to this, Stan, it's for 8 people. Can you imagine? They want an hour and a half performance, and it's 8 people in the audience. So my work is, I love my work. I got to share something with you. You're going to get a kick out of this.
Okay.
I got a book. Now I've written 20 books. I've got a 21st book coming out in a couple of months, which I'll let.
Did we lose him again? Kreskin?
And it's called Ghosts of the Quad Cities. And my.
Oh, I am getting so sad.
This guy that wrote it, Mike McCarty, and I've done the introduction, which is why my name's on the cover. Years ago in college, I was booked at this university. I've been over 1,000 universities here in this country and Canada. And I was booked at this college, and they called my office and said, you know, can Kreskin come in earlier in the day? There's a house that's nearby that we think it's haunted. We'd like to have him come there. So the background of this, and this is the reason for this book, the background for the story is I get out there. I said, you know, I necessarily have never really seen ghosts, but let's see what I can cause to happen there. No magic, no sleight of hand. We're sitting there and strange things started happening. And as a result of it, these guys have, for a number of years, even though they write serious books and non-technical books, and they've done research and gone to different homes that have had hauntings in the Chicago outside area, and they dedicate the book to me. So let me tell you what's happened since I last talked to you. Last year, I'm in a theater off Broadway, and I said, you know, this is a neat, intimate theater. It's only seats 500. We're going to have a seance here. It's near Halloween. So 30 people sat on stage with me, and then we had the audience there. And I said, now listen, this is not magic, but some of you are going to start seeing ghosts. Stan and Haney, people on stage started jumping up. People in the audience started running.
What? This is Ken. Kreskin, please come back. Maybe I can channel him. Kreskin, come back. Kreskin.
Isn't he supposed to reappear when you do that?
He's supposed to reappear. I thought he was supposed to be on a landline.
He said he was on his way home, but he couldn't make it. When he called back, he said he didn't make it home.
You know what? We need to reschedule when we can do it right.
We need to reschedule him.
Okay.
Call his people where we can get him sitting down. Because he's in his car right now. I don't want to distract him.
And I don't think he's aware of how bad the connection was.
And I don't want him distracted. The man's 84 now. And I want to be able
to... Let's get him when he can get comfortably to a landline. We'll accommodate him.
Yeah. Because I don't want our once a year with Kreskin to be...
It can't go down like that.
No. Now, he did pass along some information here. With the book, it's Ghosts of the Quad Cities. It's available on Amazon, so you can get that. Kreskin has a limited appearance, so if you're traveling around and vacationing and you want to make a destination where he's going to be, the next time he's going to be in public... And keep in mind, he does hundreds of these things, but he's 84 now. And his people asked us to say, if you're going to be in the South Carolina area, that he's going to be at the Elizabeth Wallace Theater in Hilton Head, South Carolina, on February 17th. So if you want to see Kreskin in person, go to HiltonHeadIsland.org, and they'll tell you all about... Kreskin's appearance. And you can go to his website because he has all of his dates of where he's going to be.
And you know, you talk about hauntings and ghosts and all of these things. I don't think it'll be... I'm no mentalist.
Never have. You're no Kreskin.
But I do think as technology marches forward... We're going to learn more about it in a rational way. I saw an interesting article, and it was a British woman who, in the very early 90s, became the first British astronaut and the first British woman in space.
Uh-huh.
And it was a joint mission with the Russians where she went to Mir, and they were interviewing her about, you know, all the talk about extraterrestrial life. Because that is pretty much the focus of all of these deep space probes. They're looking for habitable planets where life could exist. And I agree with this. With her take on it. She said, you know, the definition of alien encompasses so many things. She says, we could have aliens all around us, but we simply would not be able to perceive them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have our idea of what life is. And it's the same thing as going to the zoo and looking at the animals and assigning them human characteristics that they don't really have, but we interpret it that way.
That's the truth. We always love animals that have human little features that they do. We love it.
Yeah. And it's not going to be that way. I don't know that we'll find anything like us, but I think what we will learn over time And unfortunately, there's too much math and physics involved for me to even look into it. But I'm fascinated by it, and I do think that we are going to be able to start to wrap our minds around other dimensions.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And other planes of existence.
I acknowledge that there are, but I can't wrap my mind around it. I have enough trouble living in this plane.
No, but I think that's when people see things that, you know, they think they're ghosts or something that's unexplainable. It could just be that you're seeing something that you're normally not supposed to see, but thanks to some weird concurrence, you can see it.
I've briefly. Heard that, yep. But I can tell you, Stan personally has never seen a ghost. Stan has never seen a UFO. I know people that claim they do, and I think maybe they're a little bit more sensitive.
Well, UFOs
can see it.
UFOs are a different ball game. now that they've got that footage from the Nimitz and other places as well. Now,
yeah.
There's something going on there. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean. For us to think that we're the only form and the only plane of existence is foolish.
But I thought her take on it was pretty good, because would we even know it if we saw it?
Probably not. I know for a fact there's lizard people all around.
Yeah. And you've never seen a ghost, but you've seen the lizard
people.
Well,
I know they're there.
Well,
when you stop the videotape.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know. Your best example would be Hillary, right?
Ahoy, Stan and Haney. This is Alex. This on the Absolute Law text line. This is Alex from North Fort Myers. You guys were earlier talking about the Southwest Florida area and over in St. Lucie about being nuts. You guys left out Polk County. What's in Polk County?
Sheriff Grady Judd.
Yeah, what's there? What is Polk County? What towns
Rumble
there?
Tell you.
What towns in Polk County? Are there nothing?
It's like Lakeland area. It's
is
right
that
between,
what it is?
Yeah, Tampa and Orlando.
Those are just backwoods people. You go across to go to Orlando, you go into some small towns where you don't dare walk into one of their local establishments and say, hey, I'm lost. Can you break 100? You know, I'm new to town.
What are you saying if you're pulling into a roadside bar and going, hey, anybody know where the Citrus Tower is?
Yeah, anybody know where that is? I heard it's quite a sight to see.
Anybody know how to get to Weeki Wachee from here?
Anybody cash a traveler's check?
Yep.
Absolute Law text line about Disney. Guys, you're overthinking it. Their business, their rules. Just don't go to Disney.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
And again, I'm not talking about me. We know the game going in. We know the game going in. But you got somebody from, Greece that's going over there. He still smokes filterless cigarettes, and they want him to come over here.
Well, I don't think it counts for people like that, because the rules are different. Because we have to adapt to foreigners to be diverse and inclusive.
I'm telling you, the next big...
So I think they're allowed to smoke.
I'm telling you, the next big thing that is going to be the battle.
I'm telling you right now, if a Muslim family can come here and open an Italian pizzeria and bastardize every recipe...
No pork products.
Yep.
There are, what is it now, 13 states that have legalized recreational marijuana.
Yeah, no excuse needed.
No excuse needed. Recreational purposes. This is the first step.
Oh, and out of all of it, the one that shocks me the most District of Columbia is one of them.
But hear me out on this. And every one of us know, here in Florida or wherever you are, whether you smoke it or you don't, or you used to smoke it and you don't
know.
No.
I don't smoke it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor.
You can, when you smell it, you know it. You're at the concert and somebody's cupping a joint. You know it. What's going to happen if, as more and more states legalize recreational marijuana, and those states as well that say, well, I need it because of my glaucoma, or I need it because I have chronic pain, which I don't dispute, and I think, medical marijuana, great. But if I'm sitting in a bar, or I'm sitting in a restaurant, or I'm sitting in a public area, I light up a cigarette, they tell me to leave, that it's no smoking. But the guy across from me who says I have medical marijuana and it is a recreational use state, I'm okay to light that up.
Sure.
I'm in the doctor's
office.
Oh, that's
different, yeah.
And I'm getting ready to go in to see, Dr. Bastardo, and I have my prescription for marijuana, even in just a medical marijuana state.
Wait a second. Bastardo wrote you a prescription?
Yeah, well, no, I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm just saying. So you're in there smoking a joint because you got to go in and you got smoke-filled room, but I can't go in and have a cigarette. That's going to be the next trouble. That's going to be the next problem of people in recreational marijuana states that feel that they should be able to smoke their joint. It's legal.
They're entitled.
They're entitled to smoke that. We fought long and hard to make it legal, and then you can't go and light your cigarette up.
You know what? I have no idea how this works. A doctor writes you a prescription.
Yeah, I think you can get that here in Florida.
In this town.
Yeah.
And then you go where? Where do you go to buy it?
I think there's a couple of dispensaries in town. I think there are.
So when a doctor writes a prescription, does he have to, like, specify what strain and how much?
I think so. I think so.
So doctors now have to know all the different strains of marijuana and
know
how potent it should be and
dosages.
Yeah, the
strength of it. I don't know. Yeah. And you can smoke it anywhere you want because it's a prescription. All right. Sit tight. Safe word coming up in seconds. It could get you a thou.
We, the management of Beasley Media Group, would like to thank Stan and Haney for decades of dedication to this radio station. Mm-hmm. We would like to, but we won't.
I know.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, you still have about 1 minute, under 60 seconds to get the 4 o'clock safe word in. That word being dollar, D-O-L-L-A-R. Got about a minute to do it. Enter the word at 96krock.com or on the K-Rock mobile app or text that safe word to 45911. You got less than a minute to be eligible for the thou. Or you have to wait for Rob's show at 6 o'clock where he'll give you another safe word. I'm telling during that break, because we were talking about medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, texts just pouring in. Apparently, you go to a special doctor here in the area, and getting it, there are, I guess, dispensaries all over the place.
I don't get out of the house much. I don't know.
I want to go to one.
So this is a thing now.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it. Here's just one of a bunch. Guys, I have a medical marijuana card, and I love it. No more narcotic pills. It's a better pain reliever without the brain fog that pills give you. I want to find the one where you just go and... Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Here we go. Ahoy, guys. Medical marijuana, you can get a card that allows you to go into a store and purchase whatever you'd like. There is a fee to the doctor for the card and nationally, and then there is an annual fee you have to pay. There are several places locally. that you can go and take care of it. But some of the other ones were saying, with this medical marijuana, I don't want it around kids because you can get a contact high even from the medical stuff. But I don't know. I don't know where you get it. I don't know the doctor that would do it. But there are. And I guess it's big.
You remember when we started this venture, about once a year, we'd have some hippie on from Normal.
Yep.
Never thought I'd see the day. A lot of things I never thought I'd see the day. Things are changing.
Yeah. Let's get you updated on traffic. That never changes. speaking of that, somebody said at the electronic show in Las Vegas, I think it's Hyundai, is introducing a flying car.
Really? Yeah. I saw Sony is building cars now. Is this a joke, or is Hyundai really working on a flying car?
Call it. I'm going to get to it. I just got to get to the right text. Not that one. Not that one. Hold on. Just bear with me for a second.
I'm fine.
I get lost in all these
texts. It's all right.
Hold on.
Well, here's another one. You want a medical marijuana? Simple to get. Stores are everywhere locally. Thank you.
I've not seen one.
Nor have
you seen one?
No, I've seen the like on the bus bench, the ad, medical marijuana, call. But I have not
seen
it.
You know what? Bus benches have been really good for you. I know that's where you found your real estate agent.
Oh, absolutely. We buy homes. Couple of things on the board. We got a disabled vehicle, North Fort Myers, North Cleveland Avenue, and North Key Drive. And we got a crash, Fort Myers, 7400 block of Lake Breeze Drive. And you.
Is there a lake there?
Probably not.
And breezes?
In the dead of summer, you can watch a candle stand perfectly. That flame doesn't move. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. What can you expect? Well, he is about ready to tell you because he's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know. We'll tell you what our good friends at Natty Light and Miller Light are up to.
Right on.
Two best friends claimed gigantic lottery jackpots at the same time. A man in Georgia is facing felony charges for stealing his elderly mother's electronics and holding them for ransom.
Jeez.
Nobody enjoys a trip to the DMV.
Nope.
But most of us mentally and emotionally prepare ourselves ahead of time. One lady did not. She's 28. And, well, as we've told you over and over again, young ladies don't like to be told no.
Nope, they don't like the word no.
You don't understand. So upset over the long lines at the DMV. She physically beat the staff.
Oh, come on.
And finally, you know, it's an old cliche.
Sure is.
But old cliches become old cliches because there's truth to it. Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
When first we practice
to deceive. And I can see it'd be easy enough to mix it up. A woman in Indiana completely forgets that she's pretending to be an FBI agent and accidentally claims to be with the CIA. Could happen to anybody.
I'm sure.
You know, it's fun to pretend. Yep. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. Just have some laughter with the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
You know, it's that time of year again.
Oh, it sure is.
This is the most delusional month of the year. When people try to convince themselves that everything's going to be different this year. And statistics show a lot of people join an online dating service in the month of January.
That's a start anew.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things to consider before joining an online dating service.
Top things to consider before joining an online dating service.
Unfortunately, we have breaking news. Here to tell us all about it is Matt Mangus.
Matt?
I just thought you'd like to know, Stan, they're doing some tree work outside, and yeah. I know you have a very nice automobile.
Yeah?
And I don't want to see it, you know, get...
Is it getting all messed up?
Well, it's not getting messed up right now, but they're moving in the direction of your vehicle, and it was actually Marvin who came to me and said, you might want to tell Stan.
You want to move it for
I'll
me?
I'll be happy to do whatever you need.
Yep.
Stan.
What? I'm on the air.
Are you handing your keys to your boss so he can move your car
I'm
for you?
I'm not Stan's boss. I'm Stan's co-worker.
Ah, you're my boss.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. I'm happy to do it.
You're a saint of a man, Matt Mangus.
No, no, no. No, we got to take care of this. That's
Thank
a nice
you,
vehicle.
And
he's not driving around a Ford Focus like I am. You know?
Well, yeah. And, you know, you did the right thing interrupting the show.
No problem.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Where were we?
Make sure to lock it. We got a lot of thieves around here.
You got it.
Thank you. top things about the dating service. Dating.
Well, you didn't finish your statement.
What was I going to say?
Because if you don't lock it, I'm going to hold you financially responsible for any loss.
Absolutely. Fair to get used to handing over keys to him. I'll do it tomorrow.
So... Ouch. Why'd you have to say that?
I'm sorry.
Top things to consider before joining an online dating service.
Yes.
Before you do that, maybe just leave the house first and see what happens. Should I avoid the words chronically unemployed in my profile? Am I prepared for a barrage of messages from James Franco? Will I be able to come up with a good answer to sup? What's the best way to find a woman who loves sports? Chicken wings. Metallica. And also men.
I spent a lot of time on my knees.
What the hell was that?
What the hell is wrong with that?
What was that?
I spent a lot of time on my knees.
You might need a reboot there.
Yeah.
Satanic.
Yep. That's, yeah, that's bad. That's bad. Reboot.
Should I scrub all photos of my wife and kids from social media first?
Some do, some don't.
This one's for the ladies. Do I call the guy I'm hooking up with Bill or Mr. President?
Hey! Hey!
Hey!
If someone uses the online dating service to abduct me and turn me into their sexual plaything, is there some sort of way to send them a thank you note? Is there a site that only features Asian contortionists asking for a friend?
I appreciate you doing that. Yes, there is.
Can I filter out people who aren't just seeking sex? And finally, the very top thing to consider before joining an online dating service.
Yes.
It really is all about the photo. Oh, and yeah. The question you have to ask yourself is, does my look say I'm down for anything, or I'm getting a little desperate here? And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Left the building. Email, I'll try to roll through these quickly. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. This is from... I don't think there's a name here. And by the way, emailer, I did not get the pictures that I was supposed to see. Ahoy, gentlemen. I enjoy listening to you
guys.
And
then you had to do that story earlier about a dog dying.
Yep.
Little dog named Sky.
Do an upbeat intro, and suddenly you're talking about a dog dying. Ahoy, gentlemen. I enjoy listening to you guys every single day. I was born and raised in Miami, but relocated to the West Coast about 12 years ago. Been listening to you guys ever since. I came across, pictures included, but I didn't get them, these radio station tags or license tags the other day while I was cleaning out a closet. You guys remember 97 GTR? Sure do. Actually, that one has sentimental value to me. It was given to me by a woman by the name of Patty Murray, who was at the time promoting a Billy Idol concert at the Hollywood Sportatorium.
Hollywood Sportatorium.
I had no money after paying for everything else needed to attend the concert. She actually took money out of her purse and paid for the tag herself.
Well, I can assure you, that's money she didn't have.
I then spent a few moments talking with her and enjoyed her personally. I don't know if you know this, but she passed away tragically in a car accident. So that is why the...
Well, why do you got to do that?
I don't know. That's what he said. That is why the license tag survived all these years. I'll never forget our interaction and that day. But I can't remember the concert for anything. Though there are other tags in the picture. Haven't gotten them. When these stations were around as well. Back then, Miami actually had rock and roll stations. Our buddy Tim... I guess we misunderstood. Tim, our Baltimorean, said, and he corrected it, and I'm correcting it for myself. He said there is a Zantac replacement that people say works, and it's called ZEGRID. He said, check that out. Always a great show, guys.
I will.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. I am really tired of some of these friggin' ads on TV. The ones that are the most annoying are the stationary bike ones, as everybody's talking about. They make them high energy. But what gets me is every one of them features young women with smoking hot bodies who are already in shape. You never see an overweight 30-year-old mother of three doing that bike thing. And have you seen this thing they're calling the mirror? No.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
It looks like a video screen. I guess it's like Carlin said, if you take two things and nail them together, some schmuck may buy it.
Hot damn, you guys are the best. Sign the Guardian.
Jesus.
I'm with you, Guardian.
What's the mirror?
Let's say Stan is interested in the mirror.
Yeah.
The mirror would lean up against the wall.
Yeah.
And there would be a muscular gentleman going, "Let's go, Stan." And then he'll run in place.
In the mirror.
And say, "Good job, Stan."
Oh, look at this. I'm looking at it right now. And it all works on a phone app.
Isn't it amazing?
You know
what gets me with the ads?
What?
Because I don't even know what they're selling. It's, you know, flying kites, standing on the bridge of a koi pond or something like that. And people laughing and being happy. And all I hear is, it's not a cream or an injection. It's not a pill. It's not a... Well, what is it? And what does it do?
And
by the time I'm asking those questions, they've moved on.
Yeah. Don't even know what it's about. Our question of the week is
next. It's not a cream.
No.
It's
not an injection, a pill. Not a pill. What is it?
But it may cause suicidal thoughts.
Yep, and increase gambling tendencies.
Yep.
We'll be back.
96K-Rock is where we've been for years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out any time we like. And they said something else, but I forget what it was.
Stan and Annie on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Annie, thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday afternoon. Mark Haney in the news in about 25 minutes or so. But it is Thursday, and it's time for our question of the week. And we've called an audible on this one. We'll post you our question of the week. We'll do some traffic, and we'll take your phone calls to our question of the week. But I'm telling you, and it's nonstop. The text, I want people, Haney and I are naive about this. What's the deal with this medical marijuana? How do you get it? Where do you get it? What type do you get? People seem to know all of this stuff.
It just doesn't seem real to me.
And it doesn't seem real. Like Haney said, we used to have hippies on.
Yeah, every year we'd have a hippie on from Normal.
Back in the day. Or from Easy Rider magazine.
Yep.
Tell us, you know what? It's going to happen, guys. Now, we know about the recreational space, but I guess here in Florida, medical marijuana, and there's dispensaries and stuff. How does this even work?
Never thought that I would see actual retail marijuana.
277-9600. We'll take your phone calls for our question of the week after we take a look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. All right. A few things on the board here. We will start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. 8,000 block of Country Road right at the Gladiolus Gardens.
Is that where they make Dickens cider?
Mm-mm. Estero. Crash. I-75 northbound at Corkscrew Road. And in Bonita, hit and run. Shangri-La Road. And Paradise Road. And you are up to date. Phone lines are open now, unless people are chicken to talk about it. Don't want to.
Well, said you had more text than you could read.
Yeah. Oh, then people got no problem texting about it. What's the deal? Just inform us. What is going on with medical marijuana? How do you go and get a prescription for it? Is it a special doctor that you have to
see? Yeah, just walk us through it. And hey, we want some medical marijuana. What do we got to do to get it?
And then if you get the prescription, how do you buy it? Where do you go? Is it still hush-hush? I see the signs on the bus benches.
I've never seen... They say that there are stores where you buy it. I've not seen one.
No, and I don't know where one is. 277-9600. Our question of the week. What's the deal with this medical marijuana? And how do you go about doing it? Ahoy, who's this?
Oh, it's Pete.
Pete, do you know anything about it, and how do you go about doing it?
Yeah, I go to the doctor, and I get my medical
marijuana
card.
Hold it. Is it a special doctor?
It's not Gladiolus over there.
I mean, it's not your family practitioner. You're going to go have to find a doctor that does it, right?
Yep, of course. And then there's stores all over the place. You don't know where to go. But I smoke marijuana, but I do not freebase cocaine.
That's good to know. Thank God for that.
Well, that's not legal.
No.
Yet.
See, there's an example. Gateway. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Chad.
Hey, Chad. What do you know about it?
Well, my buddy has a card, and he pays $20 extra, and they drive to his house from Fort Myers and actually drop it off.
For $20 extra.
That sounds kind of like the old days.
Yeah.
And if you knew somebody, they'd drop it off for you, too. 277-9600. Everybody, Henny and I are completely naive. Everybody seems to be in the know about medical marijuana. Special doctor? Question mark? How do you go? What do you have to? You have to fill out a thing with the state? Does the doctor do it for you? Do you walk in and just, you know?
And what are they prescribing it for?
I used to be able, back in the day when you used to walk into a really nice tobacco shop and they'd have all the pipe tobaccos there and all that, the guy behind the counter used to go and let you open up the lid and take a good whiff. Is that something that you like? Is that the same way? I don't know. Haney doesn't know. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, guys. Justin.
Hey, Justin. What do you know about this?
All right. Let me break it down for you.
Here we go.
You have to go to a special doctor, like Dr. Greenleaf or Dr. Feelgood.
Yes. Got okay.
Appropriate names. There is a list of conditions. And you'll talk to your doctor about which ones you have.
So you have to be diagnosed with something that allegedly marijuana can help.
Sure, anxiety, okay. Depression, glaucoma, lower back, old, whatever.
Yes.
So then the doctor will make recommendation, and they'll approve you for, I'll just make up some numbers, you're allowed up to 80 milligrams of THC, and you're allowed to vape it, or you're allowed to rub it into a cream.
So you can't smoke it?
I don't know if the bud's legal yet. I just know about what I've heard allegedly from other people.
Here's something else that I didn't know. So you get it's the THC that they're prescribing you, and it can be vaped or like in a cream.
That's correct.
All right.
And so you take that prescription, and you go to one of the dispensaries. To get the cream or the vape juice. And so the only hiccup is it's not prescribed like a typical medicine. You know, it's not like a 20-milligram cholesterol pill. You're allowed up to 80 milligrams, but you may start off with about 10 or 15 and see if that works for you. And then you'll have to take that 10 or 15 and, you know, does it work for me if I vape it once? Do I need to vape it four times a day, et cetera?
Uh-huh.
And then once you figure out, you know, your combination, then you know what to get when you go back. And if that stops working, then you up your dose and up your dose. The only issue is that none of this will be covered by insurance. It'll be 100% out of pocket.
Aha. Uh-huh. And it's expensive.
It is. Your doctor's visit to get your card will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 to $130.
Because I'm sure they've got to pay a lot to be an approved doctor.
Well, sure, they've got hoofs to jump through, but they also got to keep their beak wet.
Right.
And then when you go to the dispensaries, you know, your vape juice, or if they're allowed butt yet, you know, you'll average anywhere from maybe $40 to $80 per item that you buy. And then the hang-up for a lot of older people is they still think of that reefer madness and the fact that you have to experiment to find what works for you versus, you know, just a straight prescription.
Right. And you alluded to that. You're going to have to go and find out what
works. Yeah, because there's a million strains of marijuana. So is that on the prescription or is that up to you to figure out?
I believe based on what symptoms you're trying to treat, the prescription will be for either
sativa or indica, you know, the upper or the downer type, or possibly a combination of both, like a sativa for morning stuff.
Here's where I am so naive. So you can get a THC stuff that will actually, because I always thought, oh, it'll bring you down, make you mellow. But they got stuff that'll bring you up?
Sure. And so, like, indica is in the couch. You know, that's a mellow, relaxing.
Yeah.
And sativa kind of spices you up a little bit.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate that. Our producer's looking mighty happy about this. What do you know? What do you know over there?
He knows too much.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
He has to play dumb.
He knows a little bit too much. But did that just not? You can all right. You can talk if you want to. Was he pretty accurate in what he was saying? Yeah. Okay.
Now, how many of these dispensaries are there?
You want to write it down on a piece of paper, or do you want to tell us?
I can. I don't know how many there are, but I can tell you that the largest. Doc, the one that has the most amount of different branches, is right here in Fort Myers.
See, I don't even know this.
He's the pot doc of all Florida, has more subscriptions. He has issued double the amount of subscriptions than all of the other pot clinics combined in the state of Florida, and he's right here in Fort Myers.
Well, see, there's something to be proud of.
Yeah, that's something. What is he in, like a big shopping plaza? You know? Right next to the Kmart? What?
Well, in Vegas, we never managed to get there, but they've got like a big box pot superstore out there.
In Vegas, I think it's a recreational thing.
Oh, so yeah, Vegas, anything goes.
So you can get the buds.
But they've got the square footage that they've got devoted to pot out there is
how
insane.
How many square footage can you have for creams?
Do the creams work?
I've never tried any of that. Topical. Who needs that?
You know?
You haven't had a bad back, though.
Yeah, rub it where it hurts. Put that in there.
I know that's always been your mantra.
Yep, rub it where it hurts. Get myself a tube. Oh, geez. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Mike. How are you doing?
Mike, how about that last guy? Do you seem right on about that?
A little bit off. I'm actually a two-time cancer survivor, so I know a little bit more.
Okay.
So my GP actually has a license to give you chewables and gummies and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Now, I've heard about the gummies, so you can get the gummies and have them, like, as a candy snack, you know, right there in the console.
Yeah. Now, you can also, I go to a dispensary in Cape Coral, and they actually give you buds and pre-rolled.
What?
Ones. Well, really? That's convenient.
Oh, so you where you're going, and you know, God bless you. You're a two-time cancer survivor, and that's an amazing thing. And good luck on your recovery like that. But you can go and actually, because of you and where you go, you can get the bud.
Oh yeah, you can get the buds at a lot of dispensaries. There's all different types. They give you the names of them. And it goes from a lower dose to a higher dose.
And you can get the joint as well.
The pre-rolled joint comes with most of it. And it has, like, that filter, like the old filter from the old lady with a little filter on it.
Yeah, well, that was the Parliament with the recessed filter tip.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Wow. I see. No, I didn't know that. The other guy said just cream and vape. You're saying you can get the chewables, obviously, but you can get the bud itself.
Yes, you can. And for about $45, $50, you can get enough to last you a week.
Just out of curiosity, if you don't mind me asking, how did you find out that you had cancer? Did something bother you, or did they catch it in a regular test?
Well, the first time, I had squamous cell carcinoma, which was in my neck. It was around my lymph nodes, and I found a little bump. And I figured, you know, I'm not really liking the bump, so I went in, biopsy and everything. The second time was two combined. It was in my tonsils and the base of my tongue. So I had to go through a lot. Yeah. And now I'm 7 years out. You know, they consider me cured.
God bless
you. You know, thank you very much. But, you know, this is just stuff that actually will help you if it's done right.
And if it's done right, and it obviously you recommend it, it truly helped you unlike any other medication.
Yes, Yes, it does.
Now, I heard with a lot of the medical marijuana and the smoking of marijuana is because of the chemo, because it makes you so sick that actually alleviates some of the nausea.
It depends. The chemo I had was mixtured with a nausea medication, so any nausea medication, I'm sorry. So this way I didn't get sick at all, and the only facial hair I lost was on my face, and I don't have to shave again, so I'm happy about that.
Wow.
So the idea there was not only to help with pain, but to be able to keep food down.
Yes, yes. I actually was on Pedialyte and everything else to keep food down. I went from 220 to 142.
Oh man. You're a tough guy.
You are a tough guy. We're Stan and Haney right here. We're proud of you.
Well, thank you very much, guys. And I'm proud of you guys for the show you guys do every day. I really enjoy it.
Thank you, Pally. 277-9600. I got no problem with that. You're a cancer survivor, or you're battling cancer.
Get whatever you want.
Get whatever you want. Ahoy, who's this?
Matt.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. I actually work at one of the local dispensaries.
You did?
No, I still do.
Can you get the bud? You can get the pre-rolls?
You can get the pre-rolls. You can get flower. You can get vapes. You can get topical creams, tinctures, which are an adjustable product, and capsules.
Now, does the pre-rolled joints, I mean, have the cigarette machines. You make your own cigarette. Does it look like a regular cigarette, or does it look like a rolled-up joint?
They put them in this thing called a cone. So it's like a pre-rolled joint, kind of, where they stuff them, and it's got a filter on the end of it, kind of like how the Parliament is.
Okay. Now, you said they even do it in pills now. That doesn't seem like that'd work all that great, does it?
They do work. They're kind of like an edible. You have to figure out what the amount of dose is good for you, and then you would take that depending if you were like wanting something for the morning time or something for bedtime, and then you would figure out what's a good milligram. I personally use a 25 milligram indica capsules, and they are phenomenal for sleep.
And it is.
This is like totally mainstream.
No, yeah.
And
it's like what the other caller was saying, I guess, and we used to use it in psychological terms when I was going to school. You'd have to find your therapeutic level. You might need a little more. You might need a little less. And then you baseline it. And
you see, Stan, what I enjoy.
Can you build up a tolerance for it, too, and then you have to increase it?
You can. You can. And you would have to increase as you build up your tolerance.
Gotcha. All right.
You see, Stan, what I enjoy is a psychological term I don't know if you're familiar with. It's called euphoria.
Yeah.
Yeah, euphoria. A lot of the products will cause that. There are some that are a little bit less on the euphoria, and there's some that are a little bit stronger with that.
I enjoy euphoria.
Yeah, well, I don't like too much euphoria. When it gets too much euphoria, I have an out-of-body experience.
I've seen it happen.
To counteract that, you would do CBD. CBD helps bring that euphoria, kind of like paranoid kind of feeling down.
Everything I hear is that CBD stuff does nothing.
It helps actually with inflammation. That's the big thing with it.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome, man.
Thank you. See, I have learned so much.
And you know what? They're finding more and more that inflammation is one of the most dangerous things. It ages you. Yep. It encourages disease. Because most of the time, you know, by the time you feel inflammation in the form of pain, damage is done.
If you'd like to.
If this stuff really
who knows?
Stops inflammation, especially like on the inside.
Yeah. Who knows?
That's what I'm most excited about out of all of this is find... You know, let everybody have their recreational, whatever. I don't care. What I'm the most excited about, because this substance has been so vilified that they have not been able to study this and find out what they can actually do with it.
I agree with you. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com if you'd like to comment further. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com. Mark Haney in the news is next.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey,
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Thursday afternoon. Thank you for participating. Mark Haney and the news. Coming up here in just a second, we'll also check traffic for you. A big event coming up on Saturday, January 18th that K-Rock is a part of, and we'd like you to be a part of it too. It is the K-Rock and the Businesses Supporting Communities presenting the 5th Annual Bacon Jam, Bacon, Booze, and Bands. Again, it's going to happen on Saturday, January 18th. It's an all-day deal, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. at Centennial Park, downtown Fort Myers. Over 20 restaurants and food trucks cooking up creative bacon dishes.
Ooh.
That's nice.
Here's some bacon. Go to work.
Yep. Enjoy. They're going to have live rock down there at Centennial Park as well with Devin the Dynamics, Red Hannah, and America's number one Van Halen tribute, Completely Unchained. Tickets are on sale right now at 96krock.com. Keep listening to win tickets. Matt Mangus just came in. I guess it's going all over the internet right now. And I haven't had a chance to sit down and listen to it. I want to actually try to go and get some good sound. But David Lee Roth has just started his Las Vegas deal at the, I guess, House of Blues is where he's at.
And I'd go see it.
I would think so, too, but it has now gone viral on the YouTube. It is the most awful thing you have ever heard. He apparently can't sing, and I guess the one floating around is Dance the Night Away, him performing it in Las Vegas, and it's gone viral because it is so bad. Do you, Rob? Do you see it on there?
Well, Dance the Night Away, it's mostly Michael Anthony.
I know. That's why I want to hear. Okay, well, I'm gonna attempt to pull it up, and hopefully there's no cussing or anything that I have to take out.
Yeah, skip ad.
Skip ad. All right. Let me know when you're ready to start it, and then I'll bring it up because I want to hear. I'm told it is horrific. And it's going viral. Can I bring it up now? Has it got sound? All right. God.
There's a clam.
Oh, God.
It's like they haven't rehearsed enough.
He hasn't sung enough or maybe sang too much.
Oh, his timing is off.
I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. That's bad.
You know, I may have to get on a plane right now. Dave, come here. Uh-oh, Dave. I know he can do better than that.
Wow, I don't know.
I do. I know he can do better than that.
Even when, in what, 2015, and he was singing with Van Halen again. And it's this way with any singer. Any singer.
Don't try to do things you can't do.
As you get older, you lose your range. And so a lot of them sing in a different octave.
than they did off the hits. I'll tell you. And
David Lee Roth, and he knows this, he is not a fantastic vocalist. He is what you would call a stylist.
Yep.
And what
you
makes him
range.
And what makes him appealing is the personality that he brings. And the timing was way, way off.
Here's what I'm saying. He's not a young guy anymore. Very famous story about the band Chicago getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Peter Cetera, the lead vocalist for Chicago for about 20 years until he went solo, was asked, they wanted to know, for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, are you going to come back and sing with Chicago for their induction into the Hall of Fame? He was there for it, but are you going to sing? As there's some acrimony between the band people and all that. And he said, yes, but my voice has changed. And he asked the band, I'll come back and do a song with you, but I need to do it an octave lower. And can you accommodate me for doing that? Because I can't get as high as I used to vocally.
Yeah, I mean, just like, when you're 20 years old, and then all of a sudden, how old is Roth now?
Yeah, he's got to be in his 60s.
Yeah, well, you can't jump as high at 60 as you could at 20.
But the fact of the matter is, the band told Peter Cetera, no, we're not going to change it. And he said, well, then I'm not singing.
I'm not physically capable.
Yeah.
But let me give you an example. This is where I think Roth is at his best.
How old is he, by the way, Rob?
65 years old.
65.
He did an album and nobody noticed. I love it. We played it before.
Yep.
But when he stays in his range and what he's capable of, he's not going to dazzle you with his vocals, but he can still be compelling.
And you got to realize that going in.
He's got to realize it.
You can't sing Dance the Night Away, but he's lower.
Yep. See, it's a lot of emphasis and stuff like that. It's not vocal acrobatics, and if he tries that, he's going to fail.
Somebody that you can watch him in his live shows and even the albums he does right now is years ago, Elton John dropped down an octave or two. Billy Joel has done it.
But this right here, this is where I think he's in the pocket.
Yeah, but doing Dance the Night Away in Las Vegas, trying to do it in the same way you did back then. He's someone I know ain't me. Yeah, that's different. I'm tired of living up to what people expect me to be. Yeah, it's different.
But you know, even watching that video, I'm watching that guy. He's a 65-year-old man, and he's failing. But he is giving it everything he's got.
I don't deny that. What they're paying him out there in Vegas, he better give them everything he's got. He's not going to go and sleepwalk through it. And I guess this year he's opening for Kiss.
You know, I heard over the holidays, I had time to go down all kinds of rabbit holes. I heard that there's an entire Roth album that was done and never released.
I believe it.
And it's supposed to be really good.
I believe it. We got to do some news. And traffic. Let me get you updated on traffic. Mark Haney in the news and just say
it. It pains me to see him like that.
Yeah, it's a shame. North Fort Myers got a crash. The 700 block of Pondella Road right by the Chevron. Also, North Fort Myers crash. Mile marker 146, I-75 southbound. Fort Myers crash, Daniels Parkway and Morgan Lane. And in Estero crash, South Tamiami Trail and Estero Parkway. and you are up to date.
And if I was his manager, you know how I'd fix it? Dave, if you insist on doing Dance the Night Away, there are parts of the song that you can do fine. The way that we handle that in Vegas is what we call a medley. So you don't do the parts you can't do.
Correct. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Robert Barr in Kansas City, Missouri, Ike Pappas in Independence, Missouri, Charles Carrault in Independence, Neil Strausser in Washington, and George Nathanson in Managua, Nicaragua.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, January 9th.
Double M, double X.
Happy birthday, Richard Milhouse Nixon, wherever you are. I understand he's a regular listener, and wanted to make sure he knew. Time now for things you didn't know. Now, Stan, of the two of us, you were the one raised Catholic.
Yes.
And you know the patron saints.
Well, some of them.
Well, I have a medal on my neck right now. Who is that?
That you is gave it to me. Saint Gabriel the Archangel.
And why am I wearing it?
Patron saint of broadcasters, because they're the messenger. Same thing. Saint Gabriel also is for postal workers too.
Okay. Is there a patron saint of television?
I'm sure there is.
You know, off the top of your head,
I have no idea, but I know there's a patron saint for every occupation and every type of person.
The patron saint of television is Saint Clare of Assisi. The Pope decided this officially in 1958.
That would be your John the 23rd, I believe.
You can't go wrong with John.
No. That's why your popes, you had Pope John the 23rd, then you had Pope Paul, and then the first the pope that died real fast, he was Pope John Paul the First,
mm-hmm.
and then you had Pope John Paul the Second.
Mm-hmm. What about Benedict? Are we not supposed to speak of him?
He's Pope Emeritus. And they've never had to really deal with that before. You got to go back like thousands of years.
But you ignore it, though,
900, 1,200 years or something, you ignore it.
It's just a blind eye type of thing, isn't it?
See Francis swipe at that woman? Get all mad at her?
Yeah, he struck her.
He did.
The Pope struck a woman.
Yeah. Slapped right at her, and he was mad.
He physically slapped a woman.
Yes, he did.
In anger.
Yes.
Raised his hand in anger.
Correct. Mad as... Oh, you... Well, here it is. Right there. Watch. Right there. What?
You bitch. You've been poked.
Yeah. Wear that medal. I've been slapped by the Pope. He apologized, lost his cool.
Never seen that before.
Nope.
I'm sure it's happened, but there were no cameras then.
Correct.
You know, toothpaste is something we take for granted. It comes in a tube. It does what it does.
Yep.
But it's a more modern invention than you might think. Colgate toothpaste burst onto the scene in 1873. It was a big hit. But it was not sold in tubes like we have now. You would buy a jar of Colgate toothpaste. And the ingredients are a little different now, too.
Dip your brush in it.
Because the main ingredient in Colgate toothpaste in 1873?
Yeah.
Soap.
What?
Maybe that's where the term comes from. I'll wash your mouth out with soap.
Well, they thought people liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, that's my mom used to use that on me all the time. If I said a swear, even when I got to be like 14, 15.
I'll
wash your mouth out with soap.
I made the mistake of calling her bluff, and she did it.
Yeah!
Didn't call it twice.
No.
Because soap's not good.
No, it's really, mothers that do that, the little do they know, it's bad for you. It can hurt a kid.
Well, you know, we've lived pampered existences. Do that now, they just call the cops on you.
Yep.
911, what's your emergency? Yeah, my mom just assaulted me.
I remember I told my mom one time, I said I was going to call the children abuse hotline.
In your house?
Yeah. Because
good luck.
She might have spanked me or something.
And you do this to your mom.
And I was
going. Your mom of all people.
And I went and I was picking up the receiver to call. And she looked at me. She said, go ahead. I want you to hear. Dial. I chickened out.
Now, out of all your legitimate complaints, mm-hmm. why would you do that to your poor mother?
Well, I didn't think she would hit me. She did.
So it was just a bit of a shock.
Yes.
Hey. You know, I don't expect that from you.
It's not after five yet.
You're not even drunk.
Yep. Yep.
That's just wrong. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Hi, I'm Jason. You're in love and want to purchase a diamond. You have so many choices. You may be thinking, do I wait till I'm back in New York? Do I jump online and search the internet? Maybe I'll cruise over to the islands. Before buying a diamond, you owe it to yourself to give Todd and me an opportunity at the Diamond District.
Jason and I have the largest selection of GIA certified diamonds in Southwest Florida. All are priced at or below the most competitive places in the world. We've partnered with De Beers in Canada and Africa. We've traveled to Israel, Antwerp, and India to select our diamonds. We want to offer you the best possible diamond buying experience.
Come see why more people choose the Diamond District than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News.
On the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. Stan, you're one of those people that enjoys keeping a secret.
I enjoy keeping a secret?
You enjoy...
I can keep a secret.
Well, no, you enjoy knowing something that somebody else doesn't know.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
I don't know if I should say anything. But, well, come on, spit it out, Stan. No. Cheshire grin.
Yeah. I usually save it so I can throw in, at the needed time, a zingaroo.
Uh-huh. I think you'd get along with these ladies.
Okay.
Back in October, a woman in Maryland won $100,000 on a scratch-off lottery ticket.
Wow, good.
But she didn't rush to cash it in. She thought it would be fun to wait until the new year to cash it in. So for several months, she didn't tell anyone except for her husband and a friend of hers she's known for over 20 years who doesn't play the lottery. We don't know their names because they want to stay anonymous. But keep in mind, the only people she told, her husband and this woman friend of hers.
Yeah.
After this friend of hers heard about the big lottery win, she decided to buy her own lottery ticket, even though she normally didn't. She bought the lottery ticket while she was out getting champagne for New Year's. And lo and behold, her lottery ticket hit for over $20,000.
Nice.
These two clucking hens showed up together.
Oh, yeah.
At the lottery headquarters to claim their prizes.
Yeah, telling anybody who'd listen.
The Maryland Lottery posted a photo of the two of them having just a great time hiding their faces behind giant checks. Yep.
Two of them singing like
you'll
canaries.
Never know.
I shouldn't say anything, but
most of us know when we have to go to the DMV, waiting in line is part of the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that going in, pretty much all of us.
Yep.
But not all of us are young ladies who are not familiar with being told no. That brings us to 28-year-old Shauna Joseph from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Oh, jeez.
She went to the DMV on Tuesday afternoon and was apparently shocked to her core that there was a line. She became very frustrated that there was a long line in front of her. So she did the only thing she could do.
What's that?
She began physically beating DMV employees. She didn't stop there, though.
No.
She further expressed her displeasure by destroying $23,000 worth of computers and equipment.
Jeez.
Probably figured that would speed things up. And then, when inevitably the police arrived to arrest her.
Yeah.
She didn't appreciate that either. And she had to let them know by kicking the police.
Yeah, they were making her do stuff she didn't want to.
The police found a cigarette on her person.
Uh-oh.
That was laced with what doctors call PCP.
The angel dust.
Which they say may explain some of these actions.
Yeah.
She was arrested for criminal mischief, drug possession, aggravated assault, and hindering apprehension. In other words, they went easy on her.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, it's always easier to tell the truth.
Yes, some people should learn that, because you start putting lie upon lie, then you get caught up in your own lies.
And it compounds it. You do something somebody's not going to like, but you find you're honest about it. It happens right away. The damage is done.
Yep.
But then the damage can be repaired, possibly. But it won't be repaired if you just stack another lie on top of it.
Just makes it worse.
And with each successive lie, it gets worse, to the point that the original lie starts looking like not that big a deal.
If you just told me the truth to begin with, we wouldn't be here. Some people need to learn that.
One of which would be 45-year-old Lisa O'Donnell from South Bend, Indiana. Last week, 45-year-old Lisa walked into a gas station wearing an FBI hat, identified herself as a federal agent.
Bad news.
And demanded all of their security camera footage. The employee declined, and she wound up driving off in anger in her Dodge Charger with no plates.
Well, she's as, FBI undercover.
As the gas station attendant called the real police. They pulled Lisa over, and she was going to stick to her story, even with the cops involved now. She explained to them she required the gas station's footage because there had been counterfeit bills passed there. And when the officer asked her exactly who she was, she replied, "I'm the CIA." Evidently, she'd forgotten she was wearing her FBI hat, not her CIA hat.
That she left at the house.
And plus the fact counterfeit bills would be the Secret Service, but
that's right.
Too many details for Lisa to remember.
Yeah. Look at that beauty. What a beauty. Poor Lisa.
The police actually looked into it. They gave the FBI a jingle. They hadn't heard of her.
Of course not.
They even called the CIA, gave them a jingle.
And?
They'd never heard of her.
What about Secret Service?
Well, she never claimed to be Secret Service.
But she's looking into counterfeiting.
Well, see, that would have made too much sense. And incidentally, it turns out that Dodge Charger she was driving.
Yeah, no plates.
Yeah, it had no plates because it was stolen. She'd taken it out for a test drive at the dealership and decided she liked it so much she'd keep it.
Oh, my God.
She was arrested for felony impersonation of a public servant, not to mention the fact that the CIA is not supposed to operate in the continental U.S. She could get 2.5 years in prison just for that.
Oh, that's light.
And we still have zero understanding of why she wanted the security footage from the gas station anyway.
Well, she might have been up to no good day before.
I am of the opinion that sometimes it's just fun to pretend.
Yep. She doesn't look like she has a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, so you got to spice things up.
She doesn't seem like a fun person.
No, she sure doesn't. And she doesn't think things through their logical conclusion. And that's the news for today, Thursday, January 9th.
Double M, double X.
Let's show a little respect for President Nixon, please.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
He was misunderstood.
Are the Stan Haney program. Yes, he was.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Rob's show is going to be taking over at 6 o'clock. He will have the 6 o'clock safe word for you.
He's capable.
He is. Could get you a thou. Let's get one more look at traffic.
He could put a thou in your trow.
Yep. Couple of things on the board. We'll start in Cape Coral. Got a crash. They say injuries. Northeast Pine Island Road and Andalusia Boulevard. And in Estero, working a crash at Miramar Outlet Boulevard and Corkscrew Road.
and you are up to date. Let's laugh.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
If you asked me when I was 10 years old how much I thought crab legs cost based on my father's behavior, it'd be like $80,000? Infinity, maybe? He's never even allowed the thought. Do you know what I mean? Have you gone out to eat with your parents? They're like, don't even think about the back half of the menu. We're an appetizer family. You want a soda? Bring it. That's where they make the money. He never once paid for a movie theater treat. Not once in his life. It would be June in Iowa. That's like 108 degrees. That's very hot. And he would still put on a giant winter coat and pack it to the gills and then clink around the movie theater. And he'd just clink down to the aisle. And he'd sit down and then he'd act like he just pulled off a big bank heist. He's like, yeah. And then he'd pull cans of soda out of his sleeve and be like, pass them down. Pass them down. Okay, I'm gonna cough. And that's when we open them. Yeah! All right! Hot root beer, right? We all love hot root beer.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. We're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Time for our question of the week, and we've called an audible on this one. We'll post you our question of the week. We'll do some traffic, and we'll take your phone calls to our question of the week. But I'm telling you, and it's nonstop. The texts, I want people, Haney and I are naive about this. What's the deal with this medical marijuana? How do you get it? Where do you get it? What type do you get? People seem to know all of this stuff.
It just doesn't seem real to me.
And it doesn't seem real. Like Haney said, we used to have hippies on.
Yeah, every year we'd have a hippie on from Normal.
Back in the day. Or from Easy Rider magazine.
Yep.
Tell us, you know what? It's going to happen, guys. Now, we know about the recreational space, but I guess here in Florida, medical marijuana, and there's dispensaries and stuff. How does this even work?
Never thought that I would see actual retail marijuana.
277-9600. Phone lines are open now, unless people are chicken to talk about it. You don't want to.
Well, you said you had more text than you could read.
Yeah. Oh, that people got no problem texting about it. What's the deal? Just inform us. What is going on with medical marijuana? How do you go and get a prescription for it? Is it a special doctor that you have to see?
Yeah, just walk us through it. And hey, we want some medical marijuana. What do we got to do to get it?
And then if you get the prescription, how do you buy it? Where do you go? Is it still hush-hush? I see the signs on the bus benches.
I've never seen. They say that there are stores where you buy. I've not seen one.
No, and I don't know where one is. 277-9600. Our question of the week: what's the deal with this medical marijuana, and how do you go about doing it? Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Pete.
Pete, do you know anything about it, and how do you go about doing it?
Yeah, I go to the doctor and I get my medical.
Now, is it a special doctor?
It's not Gladiolus over there.
I mean, it's not your family practitioner. You're going to go have to find a doctor that does it, right?
Yep, of course. And then there's stores all over the place. You don't know where to go. But I smoke marijuana, but I do not freebase cocaine.
That's good to know. Thank God for that.
Well, that's not legal.
No,
yet.
See, there's an example. Gateway. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Chad.
Hey, Chad, what do you know about it?
Well, my buddy has a card, and he pays $20 extra, and they drive to his house from Fort Myers and actually drop it off.
For $20 extra.
That sounds kind of like the old days.
Yeah. Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.